You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings. Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I'm Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. It's been a while since we've spoken. I wanted to give a little bit of break from the end of last season to the beginning of this season because we have a bunch of changes. I want to talk about them here, give you guys a chance to prepare for all the new content we have planned for you this season. It should be a fun season, a lot of changes on the ice, hopefully a change in fortunes for the club moving forward, and a lot of changes off the ice, which I'm going to introduce to you now, at least some of them. So again, hopefully you'll come along for the ride. Hope you enjoy the changes. This is now, I think, my 15th year of doing podcasts for the LA Kings. It's been a wild ride. I never expected it to wind up here. And honestly, I have everybody listening to thank for that. I'm incredibly lucky, and you guys have played a huge role in that. So thank you, thank you. Let's get into the changes. Podcast platforms. These are not big changes. These are small changes. Obviously, All the Kings Men still exists. Will continue to exist. We're going to start sort of doing a one for me, one for you plan. Monday, every Monday morning, there will be a new episode. It'll be heavily segmented. It'll be scheduled. We'll have more interviews. Less of the sort of free-flowing conversations that I know a lot of you enjoy. Those will still happen. They'll just be later in the week. So, for example, if you like it when I talk to my dad, I still plan on talking to him all the time. If you like when I talk to Peter Russo or, you know, whomever, I've got a couple guests lined up that are crazy and have nothing to do with hockey per se. We're still going to do all that, but Mondays, every Monday, we're going to have a weekly sort of review episode where we take a look back at what happened. We'll sort of, like I said, heavily segmented interviews, etc. We're also going to tackle post-game episodes in a totally different way. COVID was a really difficult spanner in the works. It sort of ruined a lot of our methods of doing things, our comfort level. So not really sure who's going to be available. Obviously, Dave Joseph no longer around, can't participate. Jack and I will still be available to participate. Not sure how free Carlin is going to be. So post-game episodes will happen. If there's a huge game, you know, Philip Deneau scores a hat trick in his first game at Staples Center, obviously we will have a reaction episode for you right away. But generally speaking, I think my preference is to do them the day after. It'll give me a chance to sleep and also maybe not react to terrible losses right away. It'll give us a chance to get some quotes from coaches, from players, maybe get some feedback from the fans. So we will try and do post-game episodes for every home game, if not every road game, but don't hold me to that. But the Monday week episodes and later in the week, maybe not every week having two episodes, but there will definitely still be room for me to talk to people like my dad and, you know, whomever, the half, whoever it might be. Next up is the Rain Check. I would encourage you all to subscribe to the Rain Check if you haven't already. Last season, again, was tough. Because of COVID, there were personnel changes. Zach Dooley was called up. His responsibilities changes. Cameron Close, the former play-by-play announcer for the Ontario Rain, who was doing the Rain Check, they were doing the Rainy Day podcast, which we renamed the Rain Check, because Cameron and Zach were no longer available to do it. Now we have Jared Shaffrin, who covers the Rain. He's not necessarily called the Rain Insider, I don't think, but he serves that purpose or serves that role. He and Josh Schaefer, who will be the new play-by-play announcer for the Ontario Rain, they will take over the Rain Check. And for those of you who pay attention, and if you're listening to this podcast, you no doubt do, you know how exciting the Rain are going to be this year. There's going to be a ton of young players. There's going to be a ton of interesting stories. Jarrett and Josh are going to be covering the team game in, game out. They're going to have way more information and way more access than we will have. And so we're happy to have an Ontario Rain podcast with a better focus than we were able to give it last season. I wish that last season we could have done a better job. Weren't able to go to the games, didn't have access to the players. It was tough. Again, COVID threw us some challenges. We did the best we could. So if you're not already subscribed to the Rain Check, wherever you find fine podcasts, please go ahead and do that. We're planning on launching new episodes of that podcast in October. Once the season is underway, we're going to have Jared and Josh on a ton in training camp heading into the season because we want to get them familiar to you guys. We want to get them familiar with the players, want to get their sea legs under them. So for a while, they're going to be appearing here a lot during training camp, but ultimately the rain check with Jared and Josh will take off. We encourage you to do that. The Fox and Faust show, we have a lot of things in the works. I can't really get into specifics because nothing is set for sure, but if you're not already subscribed to Fox and Faust, again, I would encourage you to do that because we do have plans for that moving forward, and I think you're going to enjoy very much what we have planned. I'm very excited about it anyway. And then the fourth channel is the LA Kings Insider Audio, and that is going to sort of act as a catch-all for any audio that I think Kings fans might be interested. If Luke Robitaille goes on a local radio station and talks about, you know, how impressive the prospects are, if there's a, you know, a Kings Talk episode that I think people will want to listen to, if there's an interview that doesn't really fit in all the Kings men or the rain check, that'll be the place to find it, that LA Kings Insider Audio. And we'll try and keep that feed uncluttered. So don't worry, we're not going to just completely spam that feed with every little thing that comes across our porch. We have a way of keeping it under control. So those are the four platforms that you can subscribe to. Would really encourage you to do so if you're a Kings fan, if you love the Kings, if you want to hear people who know about the Kings talk about the Kings. Then that brings us to the pregame show on iHeart, which is what I will continue to be doing for all home games an hour before puck drop. You can hear me on the iHeart audio app or on the Kings app or the NHL app, however you choose to listen to the games, whatever streaming service or option you use. But again, we encourage the iHeart audio network. Pre-game show, call-in show, interviews, guests. Hopefully we're going to have more people inside Staples Center this year. Hopefully, you know, with COVID subsiding at least a little bit, we will begin to get back to a more normal schedule. So encourage you to listen to that, participate as much as you like. And let me know if you even want those sorts of things available in the future, or Kings Talks episode, for example. We have the we have the ability and the opportunity to make those available to you the following day. But again, don't want to clutter up the feeds so that people get overwhelmed. So if you're listening to this, let me know if you want to hear those sorts of things. Later on, we have an interview with Chris Byrne. I was very happy to talk to him about Brandt Clark and the draft and the entire process and scouting, etc. like that. Before we launch into all of that, now that I've sort of laid out the plans moving forward, I wanted to talk a little bit about the past, because it occurred to me earlier this summer that, as I said, I've been doing this. This will be my 15th year doing a podcast about the LA Kings, and it's now part of my job. I have other responsibilities besides yapping into a microphone, but it's certainly part of my job. And it never used to be. Well, I shouldn't say never used to be. It wasn't when I started. When I started, it was a hobby. When I started, gosh, I don't think I had a job when I started. I was in a weird place. I wasn't really sure what direction to go into next. I wound up getting a job, and I did this sort of on weekends and evenings. And as I said, because of you guys and because of the support and patience that all of you have shown, I now find myself doing this full time, which is amazing. Again, incredibly blessed, incredibly lucky. But I was looking back, and so I've dug up the very first episode that we recorded back in September of 2007. I wanted to play just a little clip of it because it struck me. It's almost 2 minutes into the very first episode. And it's something that that was important to me to hear myself say, 14, 15 years ago. And it's something that's important for me, to maintain and to still believe in. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
I had to swallow a particularly bitter pill since I had been trumpeting the contrarians for Kluche for the last couple of months. I just never really expected that they would send him down to Manchester. I was wrong. Let it never be said that I can't admit that I was wrong. I was wrong.
There you have it. I don't know why, but it's important for me to acknowledge that that not only can I be wrong, and I'm frequently wrong, but everybody's wrong. Sports is a weird industry. It's a weird business. And so much of the conversation about sports revolves around predictions and guessing what's going to happen. And most of the time, we're way off. We have no idea what we're talking about. Or if we're right, we're right in a way that sort of everybody's right. You know, a Connor McDavid comes along and you go, he's going to be something. Sure enough, he is. Or you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning and you go, oh, they're real good. Sure enough, they are. But it's important for me, again, for anybody who listens, you'll know the mantras of the show. And we're going to start introducing a few more and we're going to lean into them a little bit heavier than we have in the past. But I kind of wanted to add that one as a personal one, which is it takes a bit, takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And I am nothing if not a big man. So all that sort of having been said, appreciate you guys listening in the past. Hope you guys will listen in the future again. Subscribe to the Rain Check, subscribe to the Fox and Faust channel, subscribe to LA Kings Insider Audio. If you're not already subscribed to All the Kings Men, my gosh, why not? Subscribe to that. You can find all of those wherever fine podcasts are curated. It's going to be a really fun season. I'm really excited, not only for the Kings, but also for the Rain. I think this might be the first year where I'm equally excited for both teams. I'm curious to see what Victor Arvidsson can bring. I'm curious to see what Philip Deneau will do to the team. How is Alex Edler going to slot in? And we're going to tackle all of those questions moving forward. On Thursday, we've got a 10 questions facing the LA Kings in training camp, because obviously training camp is going to be very interesting this year. And then as training camp wraps up in a few weeks, we're going to tackle 10 biggest questions facing not only the LA Kings, but also the Ontario Reign. Those are going to be two separate episodes. Like I said, we're going to be introducing Josh and Jarrett. They'll be here next week to talk about the rookie camp, which kicks off 3 games in Arizona starting on Friday. Then training camp starts Thursday, September 23rd. We're going to have episodes about 2 a week all through training camp leading up to the start of the season, the home opener, October 14th against the Vegas Golden Knights. And then moving forward, we'll get into that routine I talked about earlier, Mondays, the sort of weekly recap, heavily segmented episodes with the more sort of free-flowing conversations dropped in as they occur. And again, thank you so much for listening. Here's my conversation with Chris Byrne. It's always a little bit tough to track down coaches or play-by-play announcers when the Kings acquire a player. Never tougher than for Brant Clark, drafted 8th overall in the 2021 NHL entry draft. Difficult because he didn't play in the OHL this season. He went and played overseas. So instead, we've reached out to the scout that announced the selection, Chris Byrne. How are you doing today, Chris?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So let's talk about you first for some background. How long have you been a professional scout or an amateur scout? A professional amateur scout. Sorry, that was poorly phrased.
I don't know if the guys would say I'm a real scout or not, but probably about 6 or 7 years I've been with the Kings. So I think it's about that amount of time.
And I've recently sort of gone down this rabbit hole of talking about scouting because I've noticed so many different independent scouting services popping up. I don't know what the right word for it is, but on social media, on YouTube, on Twitter, et cetera, it seems to be a growing point of attention. And I was talking to Mike McKenzie, head coach of the Kitchener Rangers, and we were talking about, you know, the need for different scouting staffs to differentiate themselves from the rest by maybe hyper focusing on shortcomings of certain players. And McKenzie was saying that, you know, from his perspective as a coach, he cares more about results than the minutiae. You know, I think the example he gave is if a guy can't turn left, but he can fill the back of the net, maybe you don't worry about the fact that he can't turn left. I'm curious, from your perspective as a scout, is there a percentage split where you are willing to overlook glaring deficiencies in a player's, you know, technical abilities for the overall impact on the ice?
I think the everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Glaring deficiencies, are they fixable? Are they limiting? I think, you know, skating is one of the ones where we usually look at and say, will this deficiency limit this player from being able to skate at an NHL level or be able to play at an NHL level? So, skating is a tough one to fix. If it's a stride or a structural issue, if it's a strength or power issue, it's a lot easier to fix those kind of problems. But in deficiencies, it's more, is it limiting that person from being able to play or be able to stay in the NHL? So that's, I think, the determining factor. every one of these young players has strengths and weaknesses. So it's kind of up to us to figure out if, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years, are they going to get stronger? Are they going to work on these deficiencies? Can our development staff help push these guys to another level? So those are all the kind of factors that we go through. But, you know, to say a player doesn't have a deficiency or doesn't have weaknesses, they all do. And it's just determining whether it's going to limit them from being a little player or not.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with Bill Simmons' work, formerly of ESPN, currently with The Ringer, but he talks about the notion that, you know, players are 90% good and 10% bad. And to your point, every player has a different, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect anything. But he talks about the tendency to ignore the 90% and hyper-focus on the 10% so much that you ignore, you know, completely forget about the 90% positive that a player can bring. He's usually talking about basketball players in this case. But the reason I'm bringing all this up, of course, is Brant Clark, the Kings' 8th overall pick. And because we haven't had a chance to watch these players as much as we normally would like to, because the OHL season got canceled and the WHL and the QMJHL were shortened and the NCAA was shortened, a lot of these players, the focus was on the negative. And so the only thing I've really heard about Brant Clark is he's amazing. And oh my gosh, you know, his skating is wonky. Now, I've had a chance to watch him for 5 days at the development camp that was recently completed. And I admittedly, I don't know anything about how to identify good skating versus bad skating, but to me, he looked fine. To your earlier quote about, you know, worrying about whether or not a deficiency can hinder a guy, like how big a deal, you know, we just have to sort of tackle this question. How big a deal is Brant Clark skating?
Yeah. And for us, obviously picking him in the spot we picked him, we don't think it's a limiting or a deficiency that is going to, you know, hinder or stop him from playing. That is when we talk to our development guys, when we talk to other scouts, that is an issue that we obviously had to sort out. I think when we did go back and forth with our group, it was, okay, well, let's go back over his games and his video and the video we have from him last year, the video we have of him in Europe, and the video we have from him at the under 18 championships, and let's see or show me the instances where his skating hurt him or where his skating limited him from making plays or being able to defend. So let's pick out all those spots. So when we went back, there weren't quite as many as we thought there were, and for us it's a bit wonky, but yeah, he gets there. He's willing to work on his deficiencies. He's willing to put the time in. I think once his base and he gets stronger in his core, he's going to be able to skate harder, longer. And, you know, he isn't going to be a pretty skater, but I think his sense and skill and compete level are going to allow him to still be a really good NHL player.
So that's the 10%, and had to focus on it because it keeps getting brought up, and I just felt like it had to be said. But let's focus on the 90% good. Had a chance to talk to Brant a few times. I really enjoy talking to him. I find the fact that he clearly is two or three sentences ahead of himself in his internal monologue. His brain seems to move a lot faster than his mouth. I love guys like that. What did you like about his game? And a sort of follow-up or precursor question, depending on how you want to tackle it, how early did you notice, like how early did he hit your radar as a guy that you were interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I think to the first comment, I think his mouth moves very fast. I think he's able to talk very fast. So I'm not sure about that one, because he gets those words out in a hurry.
But he does.
And I think as he gets excited and as he gets, you know, he clearly wants to be a player and clearly excited about the draft and being drafted and being in LA and development camp and all that stuff. So, and it's genuine. So for us, a little quirky in some ways, but, obviously a really solid kid and really excited to be a player. So that's one of the things we liked about him. The other point about what we kind of like about him, in watching him, I think the thing that comes to me first and the most important thing is the ability to make plays. and for our team and playing in the NHL and being a very good NHL player, we need players to be able to make plays. We need them to make plays, not out of nothing, but where maybe some other players can't see that play or don't have the deception or the timing to make a play out of a very tight situation. And I think for me watching him, that was what he leads with. He has a very good defensive stick, which maybe people class him into an only offensive or an offensive style defenseman, but he has a very good defensive stick. I think he's competitive. I think he wants to win. He's willing to use his body to defend and to get into tighter or tougher spots offensively. And, you know, his skill level is good. So those are the things that we really like about him. But I think his hockey sense or hockey IQ or brain or whatever term you want to use for that would be the thing that he kind of leads with for me. And the other part of the question was when we noticed him and, you know, playing in, he's from Ottawa and I'm from Ottawa as well. So I've known of him and his brother growing up in Ottawa for years. Watching him play as a 16-year-old in the OHL, I think he started his OHL exhibition games. I think he had 4 or 5 goals as a 16-year-old in his exhibition games. So obviously right off the hop as a 16-year-old, he's going to kind of spark interest. He had a slower first half in his 16-year-old year, and he had a very good second half in his 16-year-old year. And I can actually remember watching a game with Rob Blake. He was in to watch somebody else, and I said, oh, here's a kid that's a pretty good player and, you know, for next year's draft. And, you know, so we were aware of him as a 16-year-old, as a top player coming into the OHL, and, you know, I've kind of enjoyed watching him in that year and wish we could have seen him more live last year.
There's always a lot of speculation in any draft year, what players will be available when your team gets to pick, you know, who will they take? What's their internal ranking system? Not going to ask you to reveal all of that, but from the Kings' perspective, did Brant Clark fall to number 8? You know, were you excited that he was still available when it was time for the Kings to make their pick?
Definitely excited about getting him and you know, evening out our prospect pool a little bit with the defenseman. We're not picking for position, obviously, but the fact that a defenseman was in the wheelhouse where we were was a good fit for us as well. And you know, we liked the player. We obviously liked him. To go over our list, obviously we're not going to do that, but you know, it was the type of year where it wasn't surprising who went in that first group of 8 or 10. I think different people, publications, Central Scouting, whatever, had different rankings of all the players kind of after maybe Power. So and I think Power solidified himself at the World Championships as the first pick in the draft. But after that, I think teams were vastly different in who had what player where. So we were happy to get him at 8. And I guess our now it's our development crew and our coaches that are going to get to mold him going forward.
I want to talk about that defensive stick that you mentioned. There's a tweet a week or so ago bringing up Erik Karlsson's numbers from 2015, and they pointed out that his wins above replacement, his offensive offense percentile, power play percentile, finishing percentile, all of these different aspects of his game were 99th or 100th percentile in the league, but his even strength defensive impact was at bottom 11%. And, you know, as a Kings fan, I've been hyper aware of the Drew Doughty versus Erik Karlsson debate. And, you know, I was fond of pointing out that Erik Karlsson never even, you know, he wouldn't even kill penalties, right? In the years that he was winning the Norris Trophy, he'd have 2 seconds on the PK and Drew Doughty would be logging over 2 minutes. So I'm sitting there watching the development camp. And every time there's a scrimmage or every time there's a, you know, a scrimmage drill and somebody's breaking up a play or getting a stick on a pass or disrupting the offense, it always seemed to be Brant Clark. You know, I found myself getting to the point where I'd shrug and I'd go, oh, yeah, sure, there's 54. Okay, of course, it was him. He's, you know, like, how good is he at reading plays from the defensive zone as compared to the offensive zone?
Yeah, I mean, that's the part we talk about in reads and sense and his thinking the game. He thinks it very quickly, and that helps him in both zones. Obviously, he has work to do with, defensive positioning gaps, some of the angles that he takes into corners, some of the fine work defensively, but his instincts, I think, defensively are very good. You worry about an offensive player that he's not willing to compete defensively, and I think he competes very well. He's willing to use his body. He wants to defend. He wants to break up plays with his stick. So those aspects for him, you know, obviously he has work to do defensively, as all young players do, but I think his instincts are very good.
We love to ask defensemen, I love to ask defensemen, if they'd rather score the game-winning goal or block a potentially game-tying goal on the other side. Brandt, he in his own sort of fashion said it didn't matter as long as it, whatever he did helped the team win. How much of his personality factored into how much you guys liked him as a pick?
Yeah. He's genuinely excited. He's genuinely a positive, upbeat person. And we did, I don't know how many interviews we had with him, but one of the interview sets, we actually went over video of him from the season, both positive and negative, and had him walk us through what he saw during that play or what he was trying to do. And I think some of the maturity in his answers was one of the things we liked too. And he was accountable in the instances that he wasn't successful and didn't make a good play, and was very good that way, I thought. So, his personality is, some people may not like it, some people do, whatever it is, but I think he wants to be a player. I think he's genuinely excited about being a player. He has put the work in and will put the work in to get better. So those are the things that kind of excite us about him and his personality.
Yeah, I've noticed the word genuine popping up a lot in this conversation, and certainly nobody could fake Brandt Clark or his passion. So when it comes time to take a player, how much internal debate is there? You know, how much arm twisting, how much convincing has to go on for one scout to win the room for one pick over another?
Yeah, I don't think that's not really the process for us about one scout winning or you know, we want to get the best player. We want to make the best pick for our team. So the fact that a player comes from one area or not, or one league, or, you know, at a certain point, there isn't your own list and your own area list. Everything's merged into one. And, you know, as you go on, different scouts have more say and less say, and different management pieces have more say and less say, and different general managers on different teams have more say in the draft or less say in the draft. So it depends on the situation, but we're not picking players at the top of the draft without a unity on our staff and a majority of our staff thinking the same way. And for the pick we made with Clark, our guys really liked him, especially at the eighth hole.
It seems like in recent years, there's been a premium on skill, but also sort of a hidden focus on character. Lots of guys that wear letters, lots of guys that play for international teams. You know, the Kings, I think, had back-to-back years with 9 players representing them at the World Juniors, and this year it could be 9 again, if not more. The fact that Clark and Pennelly both chose to find teams overseas to go play for, how big of a plus in their plus column is that they would seek out that opportunity?
Yeah, and a lot has to do with their agents helping and finding them spots. But I think the biggest takeaway from those kids, if you ask them, would be how much they had to grow up going over there, because they're away from their families, away from home. They're having to be in situations that they're not comfortable with. Initially, they're playing with older players. They're having to fit in different languages. So I think the experience of them and the maturity that they gained going over there, forget about the hockey side of things. I think that was a big aspect for both players. And, you know, those guys last year, especially from the OHL, were just scrambling to get games and to be competitive. And it was a tough year because every time, you know, something went right in Ontario, they were about to start, and then something would go wrong and they didn't start. So it was a tough, tough year for the kids in the OHL. And these guys were fortunate enough to land a spot in Europe, and there were many, and then play at the under 18. So they had, you know, somewhat of a season. There were players in Ontario that didn't get to go overseas and didn't play in the under 18s. And it was a really tough year for those guys.
Draft night comes and you get to make the pick for the Kings. How far in advance did you know? And did you get to tell anybody that you were going to be putting the pick in?
I mean, we do things a little bit differently. And the day, you know, as the days before the draft, we kind of figured out which players would be in the wheelhouse of our pick and, you know, where the player kind of comes from or what league he comes from or area. That was the way we were doing it this year. And it happened to be a kid from Ontario and from Ottawa, where I'm from. So that was how it kind of went down. And advance-wise, I knew a couple of days in advance that it might be possible. But until, you know, the couple of picks before, it was between, you know, a couple of different players. So it was maybe 10 minutes before the pick that we were for sure, or I was for sure going to do it.
When you got a chance to turn your phone back on or get away from the podium, were there how many text messages from people watching?
Yeah, there was lots for sure. And good to hear from lots of people that you've run across over the years, and people are genuinely, you know, excited and happy for you and whatever. And, you know, it was a good moment for me and my family to experience that. And, you know, after that, you kind of get right back to work and the draft keeps going and kind of back into it. So something I'll appreciate very much for, you know, a long time, and happy that it kind of came off that way.
And I'm sure you're already at least have a list for 2022. How about 2023, 2024? When does work begin in earnest on next year's, quote unquote, next year's draft, whenever next year is?
Yeah, we're starting to get things together. We've had some summer stuff that, you know, we don't put a ton of stock into, but it kind of builds a who to watch list. So we're getting into that. We kind of get geared up again halfway through September, and some rookie camp stuff and some meetings, and then on to the leagues are going to start up in October-ish. So you know, it's not we're about a month away from really being at games. And we really focus on this year's draft, and we're aware of some of the top players for the years after. But as far as doing lists and checking balances for years other than this draft year, it doesn't make to us, it doesn't make a lot of sense to waste energy and time on the year after and the year after. So we're kind of mostly focused on this year's upcoming draft.
Last question, I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time. Did you get a chance to watch any of Dev Camp? And if you did, what'd you think of Brant Clark?
Yeah, no, I did. We have a way of watching on video here that they sent out to us. It's very good. So I thought he was solid at camp. I thought that was his game, what was seen and how he played. And like all the players, we just had a call with our development guys yesterday, going over each player and how everybody did at camp. But, you know, I thought the younger guys are a little bit nervous. First time guys at camp are a little bit nervous to start, and they usually get better as the week goes on. And I thought that was the case with him.
Excellent. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks.